A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Luca Beach Show. It is Monday, the 18th of July, and I do hope you are keeping well. I'm Pete Donaldson from the email address that is hello@lucabeachshow.com.
Yeah.
I'm joined by Luke Moore,
right,
who also has access to the email address hello@lucabeachshow.com.
How you
That's
doing?
Kind of why we just happened upon this email address, and we were like, let's do a show about it.
Yeah.
That's not even our original names.
What are our original names?
I'm Polly Wallets. My real name is Polly Wallets.
And what am I? Big Pussy.
Big what?
Big Pussy.
Is that a
yes?
A Sopranos reference?
Why haven't you watched Sopranos?
I've only seen 3 seasons and I can't remember any of them.
You can't really play. Speaking of, we're in a golden age of television.
Remember Tony Soprano going fuck a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck.
A lot of good TV shows around, aren't there? We're in a golden age of telly.
Oh yeah, I think we're coming out of it. To be honest, there's
really,
a lot of shit kicking around.
There's just too much now.
Too much.
What don't you like?
Ooh, what don't I like now? Television-wise, I don't generally like. I started watching who the fella that was in the John le Carré first Carla novel film adaptation.
Fucking hell, I'm gonna work hard.
There we go.
So you're talking about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yes. Who's the main? Who played George Smiley in that?
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. So Gary Oldman did is doing. I think in lieu of a sequel to that film. He did a show about spies where he sort of getting kicked out of the circus, and he's running a shit silo, unlovable thing for spies who work for MI5, but they're shit ones and so that's the show. And I started watching that, and I love that's all I read is John le Carré's spy books, and he it's not very good,
right.
So just a bit rubbish.
Thanks for the answer.
It's just a bit shit.
I'm just saying
that everyone's just having a go. Everyone's just having a go and throwing a lot of shit at the wall. What's going to stick? I don't know. And yet, TV shows like Detroiters only got 2 seasons and then, chinned it off.
Oh, it pisses me off that some that's really good stuff doesn't get any much of a look in. You mentioned Gary Oldman, so I should mention as part of that one of my favourite Luke and Pete show facts, which is Gary Oldman's 13 days younger than Gary Newman.
Yeah,
which
I like
is always
that.
Nice to hear.
Cool.
And I had some people telling me last weekend that they thought Better Call Saul was better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
which I don't agree with at all.
Have you watched all of it though?
I haven't watched all of it.
All of it, right?
But I will get there. I watched. I'm about 3 from the end of the second most recent season. So I will get there.
Somebody pointed out that I think it was in Breaking Bad. The main guy, Walter White, Jesse, Saul, and his henchman, Carl.
You know Carl
from Better Call Saul. All 4 of them are absolute baldies, and yet at certain points they're many baldies.
Spoiler.
And one of them and it said, and Hank as well.
Yeah.
One of them was like hairdresser. Like one of the credits at the end of the TV show was like hairdresser. I was like, mate, most people are bald in this show.
It's like that famous credits of the guy who was listed as a dinosaur supervisor in Jurassic Park, isn't it?
And the damn kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Got everywhere. People died. I was going to bring something to the table today that I think you might find confusing, but also hopefully vaguely interesting.
Yes.
Is that last weekend, I went on a massive monster walk on the Saturday. Do you remember
looking
I showed
for monsters?
You the, I showed you the, no. I showed you the step count, didn't I?
You showed me the Fitbit readout, and I just thought
it's Garmin.
You
know I'm a Garmin man.
All right, what's the difference?
You thought I was endlessly masturbating, and that's how I got the step counter up.
Correct. Yeah.
Which, if you don't mind me saying, it's quite childish.
go for a big walk is quite childish. What are you, a dog?
Yeah. I did have a tantrum to make it really short. No, I went on, did 42,000 steps, which I think is quite good in that heat as well. And throughout lockdown, I mentioned on this show, and our regular listeners will be aware that throughout lockdown, me and a few of my mates did a listening session every week for 100 weeks. We did 100 albums.
Right.
And they were selected in a completely egalitarian way. There was a shortlist and then devised, and then people would have their votes. And whatever album came out on top, we'd listen to.
Yes.
Now, it was my mate's 40th birthday, and he can't really go anywhere or do much because his wife's quite heavily pregnant. So he said, look, I can do something for my birthday to celebrate my birthday, but we have to stay in London. It can only be across a day because I need to be close by. Mm. Fine. So a couple of my mates devised a walk, which we then had printed out on a map and framed, of a point for every single, a destination, a location for associated with every single album we listen to in some way.
Okay, nice. Okay.
And it turned out to be like a 40-mile walk. So you couldn't really do it in one day, not in that heat.
Yeah.
So we did like half of it, the most interesting half of it. And that's what I was doing on Saturday. And it still turned out to be about, I think it ended up being 38 kilometers or something.
Is there something in your soul that says that you need to go back and finish?
Because
presumably you took a snapshot from the middle of the course rather than the start of the end. So you've got two more walks to have, basically.
No, we did pretty much exactly half from the start.
Okay, all right.
So it started, the one we did
so start... So you could finish eventually.
Yeah, so the one we started off on was at the Savoy Hotel, on the riverside of the Savoy Hotel, because that's where Bob Dylan did his Subterranean Homesick Blues video shoot, and we listened to a Bob Dylan album. And then it ended, it went all the way around Central London, West London, and all the rest of it. And it ended up at, our half of it ended up at Abbey Road because we did it wasn't actually a Beatles connection because the Beatles connections are all over London. The Beatles connection was in Savile Row where they played their last gig.
Okay.
But the Abbey Road one was Red Hot Chili Peppers did something because we ended up listening to a Red Hot Chili Peppers album. Fuck knows why we did. they did a parody of the Beatles Abbey Road thing with socks on their
car. That's right, yes. Okay.
Anyway, that gives you the fucking context. It was a really cool thing. I know it's nerdy. People are going to be rolling their eyes going, good. But what became really clear is my friend Duncan and my friend Tommy, who are music like nerds. One of them is Duncan is like the features editor of a big music magazine. It became really clear, and we kind of had a laugh about it, and they were kind of self-deprecating about it, is that it was getting quite tough to find links, right? So, but they had to find one for every single one. So one of them ended up being the registered address of Tom York's listed company, which is like this obscure office on Great Portland Street or something.
It'd just be a mailbox sink.
And the absolute nadir of it, right, was we traipsed in like 30 degree heat for about 40 minutes to this obscure part of like Earl's Court.
Yeah.
Because, and I fucking shit you not, we got there, nondescript house in a residential street. I sat down the curb, like sweating to reapply sun cream. And one of them just went, yeah, I think Brian Ferry might have lived here for a bit. I was like, you fucking joke. It's like 40 minutes to get here. And we had to walk every single part of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, some particular highlights. One was the hotel in Shepherd's Bush where Nirvana stayed the very first time they visited the UK.
Okay.
There was a flat that Mick Fleetwood used to live in. There's loads of cool stuff. It's all publicly available information.
I bet he's bothered a ceiling before.
I bet he has. Yeah, well, not like you have. So anyway, that was quite fun. If people are interested, I'll share the actual route, and you can have a go at it yourself. It works out, like I say, about 30 odd miles.
Okay.
In total.
Cool.
But the portions of it are interesting. And the way it's kind
apart
of
from the Brian Ferry one.
Well, quite. That was very uninteresting. But and this is all publicly available information. We're not fucking like stalking people's houses and stuff.
Right.
But it started off with quite a lot of concentrated ones in the centre of town. Do you know what I mean? So you nip across Regent Street and go to where Ziggy Stardust had his photo taken for the album cover of that. And that's actually all blue plaqued, and all the restaurants around there are named after Bowie and stuff now. So it's kind of a bit
Hendrix's
of a
house around the corner from where I used to live, obviously, in sort of Mayfair, kind of just
Hanover Street.
My mate used to live in the same block of flats that Jimi Hendrix lived, and his landlady was a runner of a, what do you call it, runner of a brothel, I can't remember.
A madam,
and she was once burgled by two blokes, and she with a broken ankle managed to lock the burglars on the roof.
Wow.
Like they tied her up and she managed to get free.
What year was this?
Locked them on the roof. Probably about, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Bloody hell, that's
crazy.
Funny.
Wild.
Do you know what one thing? So we actually went to where Jimi Hendrix died.
Yes.
And that was in a hotel in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
It's unmarked. It's like a really posh hotel, but it's not got a sign outside or anything. But anyway, we found it.
Not something you want to sell it under.
No, it's probably not. But it's a really, I mean, you know what Notting Hill's like now. And that's the one real interesting, I think, one of the really interesting takeaways from the whole thing is that, so you'd, like, you go, right, we're going, now we're going to here because this is where the Walker brothers were put up when they first moved to the UK.
Mm.
And you'll go there. And literally the Walker brothers one, I think, was on Eton Square.
Right, okay.
And they were like, yeah, they stayed in this in the top two floors of this building on Eton Square for £5 a month. It's like a £40 million house now.
Yeah.
Like you say, Jimi Hendrix living on Hanover Street. Obviously none of that can happen now, but the city was so different back in the 60s.
I think me and Mark on the Rest of Me show, an excellent stack podcast, we kind of want to find out where. We know where, but it's been knocked down now, but it's where Yokozuna died in Blackpool. I think it's kind of around about Blackpool sort of area. Liverpool,
what was he doing in Blackpool? Was there a WrestleMania there or something?
No, they just like you go after you sort of finish your contract with WWF, you go and do your own thing, and promotions will just take you whatever state you're in around Britain.
Is it an urban myth that he was frightened to death by a spider?
What?
Because people were saying back in the day that he had a heart attack because he was frightened of spiders and he saw one in his room. It's quite an 80s rumour, isn't it?
Yeah, that pretty much is. And to be honest, I mean, he's wrestled in Japan where they've got proper spiders, so, you know.
Yeah, just, I don't know, why do those things come up? Why do people say those things? I mean, it's evidence of the meme culture before the internet.
Couldn't get away with it now, could you? You couldn't, like, really.
There's no mystery now.
No, there was, and even like the rumours that go around are always a pastiche of a previous rumour, so you can kind of trace its etymology a little bit. So like with when Shinzo Abe got shot.
That's really sad. What a
very
sad...
Very bizarre.
Really rare in Japan, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so rare he had to make his own fucking gun by the looks of things.
Oh, right.
It was like just two pipes connected, like he made his own little gun.
I love the
craftsman to a fault.
I love the memes that did the rounds where people, it's terrible to say about someone who actually died, but the memes that did the rounds of people taking off the fact that there's loads of quote Japan experts out there who say really knowing kind of contrary things.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah,
someone
said,
actually in Japanese culture, killing someone's really disrespectful. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. But anyway, what are you going
to
say?
It's Carry very on. Hard when you do like the podcast at Broad Japan we do at Stack. It's very hard to. Not sound like an absolute cunt, but it doesn't matter because on the Luca Pete show, I've shown on more than an occasion, aka with Etsy's email last week, that I'm more than willing to embarrass myself constantly.
I'll come round your house and put my foot through your fucking floor. I feel like that.
Oh, you like your ceiling, big boy.
What were you going to say about Shinzo Abe? It's good, isn't it?
So the rumours were going around or a fake tweet was going around of Shinzo Abe saying... in Japanese, I have evidence that will put Hillary Clinton in prison the day before he died. And like, it's just,
which is
like,
made up.
Of course it's made up. But A, of course it's made up. And B, it was traced back to every person who's been killed in the past, has been murdered in the past 3 or 4 years.
People
have circulated tweets before because the anti-Hillary Clinton fucking QAnon bollocks.
Yeah.
They've fabricated tweets that they put out, but it just makes me laugh that it's such a hack and done and overdone thing about I have proof that Hillary Clinton should be in prison, and then the day after they die, the fake tweet is such an internet meme that even like people took it quite seriously. You know, news outlets took it quite seriously.
That's the real problem, isn't it? I think
that there is no quality in journalism anymore. I think there was a. Oh, I can't remember. It might have been Greek, actually. Greek TV station had a picture of... There was a racist fucking meme going around that Hideo Kojima, who little sort of slight Japanese guy with glasses, bought, if you're not really familiar with looking at a lot of Japanese faces a lot, had a passing resemblance of the man who shot the gun.
Right.
And so somebody tweeted it out, blah, blah, blah. Some right-wing news organisations basically... posted a picture of Hideo Kojima, who at one point was wearing like a Russian hat, and he stood in front of a picture of Che Guevara. It's like Che Guevara loving left wing murderer of Shinzo Abe.
Which is no due diligence at all. Yeah.
And so like news outlets reported that he was obsessed with that the guy who shot the gun basically posted a picture of Hideo Kojima and said that he was obsessed with left wing politics when in fact he just fucking not want to shoot the president. You know.
Is there a motive for the killing being established as we record this?
I don't know. Yeah, it probably has. I've not really paid much attention.
Okay, right.
I guess, you know, who who really cares, I suppose, at that point, isn't it?
One of my...
astonishing that he managed to do what he did, and it just shows how safe Japanese society is, that they allow people to get so fucking close.
Yeah. Well,
and get two shots away.
It's actually come unstuck there, haven't they, on this particular example?
Yes.
So to be fair.
Possibly should be a bit better.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who had that bulletproof briefcase, and he shot two. Arby was already on the ground. And the guy gets his little briefcase out. To be fair, he does take some of the blast of the second one. This little kind of weird.
You can't really. This is the thing, isn't it? You can't really blame the close protection officers for however they reacted in that split second, because you know. I mean, you can only do what you can do.
Yeah, I think
most, it's a safety net, but it's not more than that.
No, I know, and it's all about how you plan out the actual thing itself. But I think most people in slightly more spicy environments are going, shouldn't have been able to get the second one off.
Well, yeah.
That's insane.
Do you know what? I was reading the site the other day.
You know, bang. Bang. Right. You know, yeah, he shouldn't have been able to get it off. Just mad.
Is the suggestion that it's so alien in Japan to have that happening that people couldn't react to?
I mean, I'm sure they've got their training and stuff, but it's just sort of weird that...
When I was doing some research for something else, I was reading up about something, and it was I think it was President Donald Trump attending an event in the UK.
Mm.
I forget the event. It might have been some kind of D-Day anniversary. I'm not sure. Anyway, but I was reading the a report about it, and it was like the lengths that the Americans go to for security reasons like that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
To the point where in this particular example, they had two of everything. So he was going from the airport, some particular airport, to the venue in a helicopter.
Yes.
But it was two helicopters,
yeah,
two cars, two close protection security teams, one of which isn't even on the president.
Yeah.
Just so there's total kind of vagaries around where he actually is and where he isn't.
Just do two attempts at his life then. Just do it twice, double up.
You have to double it.
Yeah. But the lone wolf, I guess, quite difficult to do.
On the conspiracy theory thing, it would be remiss of me not to mention my favourite conspiracy theorist, who was, of course, Matt Letizia, ex-Southampton football player, who's now blocked me off Twitter, sadly.
But anyway, yeah. I
actually fucking hate people who use that as a badge of honour. And I also hate that he's done it, because I really genuinely like looking at his tweets. But anyway, I have other ways and means.
Oh, do you now?
But there was a great, Pete, honestly.
Little sock puppet accounts.
And for legal reasons, I am going to say to you, last week, I am not suggesting in any way, shape or form Matt Letizia was associated with this.
Mm.
But of course, when you tweet the stuff he tweets, you get the replies, right?
Yes, yeah.
You are going to get the attraction of certain people. And so he was, he posted a tweet, Matt Letizia, talking about the candidates for the next leader of the Conservative Party that he didn't want to be Conservative Party
leader. Right, okay, yeah.
And they were all associated, according to Matt, in some way with the World Economic Forum. And he shared something that said, they suggested they were working as WEF agents within our national government, right?
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory stuff, right? That's fine. It's not fine. It's mad, but he is quite mad. One of the replies just made me think, one, that is hilarious, but two, people like this will find anything, right? And one of the replies, Pete, was a woman who had found out, that the days that the MPs of the Conservative Party all started resigning to get Boris Johnson out was the same day that Bill Gates landed in London on a plane.
Right,
she had flight tracked his plane.
Yeah.
I presume it's his plane. I don't know how she would know.
Yeah.
But she said, is it a coincidence that Bill Gates was in London the same day MPs started resigning? Yes. I've thought about this, and the answer is yes, it is a coincidence.
Wow.
I love the fact that she doesn't even consider how often Bill Gates is probably travelling.
Floating around, yeah.
As one of the world's richest men. But they will look for anything. For anything.
But I just like the thing with Letizia. It's good for me because I never really... I'm fascinated by it, but not enough to actually fucking read up on and find out what they're actually saying and stuff. Because it's just funny. Just funny noise. I'll wait until Boing Boing or something, kind of one of my kind of like disseminators kind of finds out what QAnon and all.
They'll break it down for you.
I can't be arsed.
Yeah.
But there are so many different like little kind of quite professional looking websites and little kind of, you know, social media free speech advocate groups and stuff that Matt Letizia will retweet. And you're like, fuck, these guys have all got funding, graphic designers. They've all got resources. And I'm just impressed that like, the level of quality presenting wise has gone up a little bit.
The insidious thing about it is they obviously are presenting as serious news outlets.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And the blurring.
And to people of a certain disposition, and certainly people more likely in my parents' generation, they think. Yeah, stupid people, and also people who aren't aware how easy it is to make this stuff look good. That veneer of it's very easy to ape and ghost and kind of recreate that kind of veneer of respectability, yeah, just with a couple of a couple of graphic design.
I do have a certain amount of sympathy with the ideas, because with the principle of the ideas, because there are things that have happened that massively, almost to their mind, ratify what they're thinking, because they'll go, well, you're saying I'm a conspiracy theorist, but actually when this happened you told me it was like old bollocks, but it turned out to be true, kind of thing. And that stuff does kind of happen, because obviously public life and big decisions and the way the world works is actually very complicated, so sometimes people get things wrong and then they'll tack onto that and use that as a reason to quote prove a conspiracy theory, because they'll say, well, actually you said that was a conspiracy theory. I don't know, something like I was trying to think of an example, something like that stuff around when COVID came about, and people were making their best guess because it was a new thing. The government, you know, needed some space, although they were incompetent at the time. You're just like, well, you need to give them some space to actually work out what's happening.
Yeah.
And they would get things wrong.
Yeah.
And the things they said that were at the time would turn out to not be true. But Matt Letizia will go, well, you see, that was true. And you told me it wasn't. So they'll use it like that.
But you're believing everything, and we're exactly sort of going, right, look, we remember fucking thalidomide and Bhopal. Remember that we remember being told a certain thing and wasn't true.
Yeah,
and if we were
the cream egg conspiracy, you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. What's a cream egg conspiracy?
Well, I told you they're only valuable for sale between Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, just slightly different thing. But I mean, I would say follow the money on that, I would say.
Yeah.
And sort of like go...
all going from me to them for cream eggs.
Yeah, if you're ever in that situation, you think about conspiracy, follow the money. Does Donald Trump necessarily want to think, you know, is he going to make any money out of hanging out in underground pedo tunnels, blowing them up? Is that really part of his thing? You know, if most billionaires could probably get away with murdering a few kids and you're not noticing, right? Yeah. Is that going to make them a lot of money? No. And most of them have got to that position because they fucking like money and they don't want fuck anything.
if you had underground pedo tunnel on your Luke and Peter bingo cards, please leave that for your prize.
But that's one of the big ones in the queue, on it. The earthquakes of Donald Trump blowing up the underground pedo tunnels. A couple of years old now.
They think that he is sent by God to disassemble by violent means the satanic paedophilic cabal that is running not just the US but the world. Yeah.
And then they'll tottle off to church.
Do you know what I feel like I have to say that on the show? I just think to myself, Luke, don't put too much pressure on yourself as a broadcaster, because there's no easy way to do that. There's no easy way to say that and not sound ridiculous. So yeah, no, you are right. You're spot on. I think, as I've said to you before, it's a way for, you know, ordinarily stupid people to feel clever.
Yeah.
And it's no coincidence the people who believe in that shit would believe in all the other ones as well.
Yep.
And if it was in the early 90s, they'd be talking about UFOs. And then if it was in the fucking 70s, they'd be talking about the moon landings, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, let's have a break. When we come back, I want to do an email about a jellyfish.
Lovely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back, and it's the Luke and Pete Show, and we've got emails galore. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you want to get in touch. Luke, last week in Cornwall, I saw so many jellyfish. Jellyfish were in bloom and are in bloom. I saw...
One of them wearing a pair of glasses.
I'd love that. I saw a nasty one. I saw like one of those Portuguese-looking ones, little kind of like the ones that have inflated fins.
Just like when
stuff.
You saw a hummingbird, which has never been observed
It was not a hummingbird.
Europe. That was a hummingbird moth.
I already told you. I told you it wasn't a hummingbird.
Well, on jellyfish, I mean, Christian, our friend Christian's got in touch by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Following up on your jellyfish chat from a while back, Peter, and I'll let Christian take up the story. He says, hello, chaps. Following Pete's masochistic admission that he'd like to be stung by a jellyfish.
I would. Why
did you do it?
Because the only one that I could find that I knew would be able to sting me was like the nasty one. And I was like, that's too nasty. Too nasty.
Yeah, I mean, if it was indeed a Portuguese man of war, I mean, that's pretty bad news.
It's bad news, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's bad news. It could have been. I think there are two variants and two that look exactly the same as those ones, and the blue jellyfishy ones are a little less serious, but they're still pretty potent. I didn't see any like normal ones that would, you know, give you a little sting. They were mainly just moon jellyfish and right. compass jellyfish. They're all right.
In the case of the man o' war, I think it's rare for it to cause death. Mm. It's like a difficult, painful thing for a few days, I think. Yep. But I think if you, the usual stuff, I mean, with your track record as well, it mimics an allergic reaction. So it can block the airway and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And older people, it can cause heart problems and stuff. Mm. So, listen, trying to get killed by being stung by a jellyfish, Peter, it reflects very badly on all of us here.
Okay.
Anyway, you didn't take the opportunity to get stung by one.
No.
Fine. Christian says he was actually himself stung by a jellyfish while on a family holiday in Spain. He says, I was around 8 years old, faffing about on a lilo in the sea and felt a sharp zing on my foot. The pain didn't hurt that much, but the shock was enough to make an 8-year-old me cry incessantly.
Aww.
Having been told that urine neutralises the sting, my older brother Dom, who is also a listener and a victim of the Christmas fight from last year's first Christmas special, was very forthcoming in offering to piss on my foot.
Mm.
Ultimately, I was able to do the deed myself, and piss does in fact work, do wonders on a jellyfish sting. So if Pete does find himself in jellyfish-infested waters, I recommend he hydrate amply before going in. I think it's to do with the alkali in the piss, I think.
It's not just the heat. I thought it was just a massive misnomer. Well, because vinegar's the thing that's supposed to help, and that's obviously an acid rather than
alkali. Maybe it is that then. Maybe I've got the wrong way around.
They say hot water and just get the credit card across the stings.
To get them out.
To take them out, yeah.
My granddad trod on a sea urchin and I think took a slash on his throat and made it a lot better. That was in the West Indies, I think.
That's just a general puncture wound, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think it depends on the anemone or the
I think they're just spikies, aren't they? They're just spiky.
They're really sharp. When I was out in Puerto Rico, I dragged my foot across a coral, and it was so rough. It took ages to heal. Absolutely ages.
Well, that's the thing that with jellyfish, I just naturally, because I've never been stung by them, I'm naturally scared of them. I didn't realise that, like, the Portuguese man of war one, for example, it's not even just one organism. It's like three or four. So, like, the inflatable fin is one bit, the tentacles are another, and they just have a mutually beneficial relationship that they just hang out and feed each other and keep each other alive. It's
mad
amazing.
It's evolved like that.
It's fucking insane. And they're not, you know, they're not animals. They're fucking just, they're like coral. They're just like, so that made me feel better that one wasn't necessarily going to chase me and try and grab
me. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not
like, yeah, it's not necessarily aware.
God made them like that, Pete.
He did, yeah.
He decided that I'm going to do it.
Thought he was one of us.
God was like, I'm going to make this fucking weird shit today.
Yeah. Shall we finish with a media report from Reuters a couple of days ago? You're saying, has there been a reason established why Shinzo Abe was...
We're going back to that. It wasn't jellyfish, was it?
No, well, Reuters have got the skinny.
The suspect told police he was dissatisfied with Abe and wanted to kill him.
Abe, yeah. And kill him. Yes. Kind of checks out that, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Hard to refute that, isn't it? Very hard to refute that motivation, yeah. isn't it?
I don't know how I would make a gun and find the munitions and stuff, but I don't, there's not many people in my life I would get the vice out for. You know what I mean? Get the vice and a hacksaw out for. Yeah. There's very few people I would create a model to destroy or hurt them in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, I just throw a cup of tea in the face.
You're a reasonable fellow. You're all mouth, though, aren't you?
I'm all mouth, no trousers.
You're on the hair trigger. You are very, all very mouth, explosive. No trousers.
I don't think I am. I think
no, you're explosive in a really contained, undangerous way for a short amount of time.
Yeah, like a dying star. Or do they notably take a long time?
Famously take a long time. Very powerful as well.
Yeah, good. Opposite exactly. That. Correct. I've seen this in my pocket.
Opposite. What is it?
Little mobile phone I bought in Japan.
It's a mini iPhone.
It's a little phone.
That's where have you? You've literally pulled that out of your pocket.
Yeah. Hey.
Does it work? Yeah. Is it connected to a network?
It does if I put my SIM in. Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
I had it in my cabin, and I was like, "Shit, I forgot about that." It's got a little.
That is fantastic. It's not Apple, is it?
No, it's Android. It's
very
Palm.
Good. How much did you pay for that?
It was when I was on Radio Money, to be honest. So more money than I needed to. Just never used it.
Spending it on shit you don't
terrible.
Need.
Yep.
Anyway, let's go.
Awful.
Let's go, Peter. You've ended
farewell,
the show with the least non-visual feature ever. That's okay. I was in the process of looking up what those guns that aren't metal are made of. Apparently it's polymer.
Okay.
Very interesting. Yeah. Right. I've also got some very deep-rooted interest in the crisis of masculinity around people and guns and America and all the rest of it.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't got time for that now.
No.
It's probably a bit boring as well, so we won't do that. But we will be back later this week for more of this, so do stick around. Get in touch if you want to speak with us. hello@lukeandpeach.com. We read all your emails. And tell your friends as well and leave us a nice review too. Pete's taking his headphones off. That means it's the end of the show. We'll see you again soon.
Turns out I can hear you anyway. Didn't need them.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.